On 1116 SEN, Crunch Time. Voted 4 times most outstanding radio show for Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
Handball to Cowan. Hurried kick towards full forward. Mitch Clark tapped it superbly to Motloff. Magnificent football by the Cats. Hawkins in the frame. Takes the mark, Tommy, and kicks the full forward. And Johnson, Stevie J. Why did he play on? Doesn't matter. Goals anyway. Kirsten goes again. That was better. Bring it up for Griggs and has a bang from 50. And the bang goes. Wooshka. It got back through to Caddy, who gives to Gregson. Another handball to Clark. Will he kick it? Do they know how? Oh, they do. Forced a handball, that Murdoch goes back in and out of the traffic, got through, spinning, and then kicks the goal. Dizzy didn't stop him. Brilliant goal, Jordan Murdoch.
And here's Marley Williams running with the football. He looks up, he goes deep, he goes very deep, top of the goal square. Swan's got it, takes the mark, and Dane Swan puts it through.
Hunted down by Duncan, but he got a handball through to Chris, who should and does kick a goal. And there's life yet in the Pies. Chips it to the leading Cloak, who marks his 60 from goal on when
he
stands
too far
up.
Out, he's got a step pass.
Oh, he might be a chance. Well, he's run close to the 50. He bangs it as far as he can, and it's got through. Gregson, he's claimed, and he's been penalised. They're eager. Langdon takes it in a rush. Cloak!
The Collingwood crowd, he's marked on the end of the goal square. The Collingwood crowd, home crowd here, outnumbering Geelong, are having an effect here.
Here we go.
They are making the noise.
And they'll make some. Oh, no. It's a collective groan.
Mackay Cockatoo comes in. Round his body. Mackay Cockatoo. He kicks the goal they needed.
There's only seconds remaining. And the siren will sound. And what a sweet sound it'll be for Geelong fans. Without a lot of their experienced players tonight, an outstanding win. They blitzed Collingwood early. It was hard to believe in that first half. They were challenged by the Pies, but they've got home by 41 points.
The start in particular was really impressive, and you know, not just the scoring, which is obviously a nice part of it, but we've got a developing team that are learning to play together, and I thought their cohesion for most of the game was really good. So from a coaching perspective, that's the most exciting thing.
Continuing to defy those who say they can't keep on keeping on, the Cats remain far from a spent force. Inspired by a clutch of kids last night, their coach, Chris Scott, will be our guest.
We got jumped. Geelong came out with far more intensity. Their attack on the ball was fantastic. Contested ball went against us. 10-minute mark of the game, we're 5 goals down. So it's not the way that we wanted to begin. We spoke about starting well, but we didn't get there. All credit to the Cats and the way they came out.
Losses to Adelaide and Geelong will have some believing we found Collingwood's watermark for 2015. It's one of many aspects out of last night to discuss with Nathan Buckley when he joins us.
Stephen May's decision to take Rockliffe off his feet before going back to the ball is a logical football decision.
I'm totally bemused, to be honest. Totally flummoxed by it. I thought the system was really improved this year, but that decision is sort of...
Grabbed Zach in the change rooms and he was standing above me up on the steps, so I grabbed him and pulled him down and basically gave him a bit of a talking to, I guess.
We don't apologise for playing hard and ruthless footy, but we just want to do it within the rules.
Obviously Gary Jones rehab again, but it was more about the players we played and the fact that Mike has been captain on that particular day. That's why we thought that that was the case.
It'd be different if we told Brisbane he wanted out. This hasn't happened. That's the thing that I find. Yeah, we're trying. They want to keep him or not. It's pretty straightforward. This isn't helping.
As usual, it's been another massive week of news in the AFL. We'll discuss all of the issues. And in the crunch, did Carlton go to the Gold Coast to interview James Aish? Also on the menu, the Swans, Gary Ablett, the match review panel and the Bombers. While in the Saturday spotlight, we'll ask, is winning the inside 50 count still a significant stat? It's another big edition of Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. Well, it has been another huge week. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Crunch Time. It's Mar in for Hudson. Stick with us. The regulars, or enough of the regulars, are here to carry you through for the next couple of hours. And there is a lot to talk about, not only out of last night's game, both coaches to join us, as you've just heard, but a whole lot of other stuff swirling around. Mark Robinson yet again finds himself in one of those stories as of about 45 minutes ago. Robbo, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Andy. G'day, Dermot.
Robbo.
Great to have you again. Did I see you on the tram this morning?
No.
Oh. Tram? Public transport, Brereton.
Not for Dermot. And welcome, Terry Wallace.
Oh, hey, Robert, how are you going?
Geez, it's been a huge week in footy. I know we say that a lot, but from Lepage to poaching of players.
To the Gold Coast.
To Gold Coast and drinking and Leper. And then we thought, beauty, we'll sit down and watch a game of footy. And it was over in about 12 minutes.
And yet a story emerges as one of the players walks down the race last night, Terry. I'm not sure how big a story
off
that
the
is.
Ground.
I'm not sure. At the
off,
end of the
he walks down the race off the ground, you mean? Yeah.
At the end of the game, yeah.
We're talking about Mitch Clark.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go straight off the bat there. Mitch Clark had a moment last night. We're all pretty much aware of his mental health issues, and people with mental health issues have an ongoing battle. Mm. And last night at a particular time, late in the game, he had a moment, and Chris Scott, the coach, recognised it, walked with him, put his arm around him. Mitch didn't sing the song. And I think...
He didn't?
No, he didn't.
I got them down there just after they'd sung the song. And he was, to me, when they said, oh, have you seen Mitch Clark? I said, yeah, he's standing over there chatting with his mates, having a laugh. Mm. He was fine by then.
Before that, yeah, there was...
So
what people have got to be aware of, don't make assumptions after the game. He needs understanding. It's as simple as that. He needs support.
You've coached, and we'll talk about this later. We want to talk about the game to begin with before the two coaches arrive. But you have coached players who have had depression.
Yeah, a couple that have had serious depression along the way. And I was speaking off air to Dermot just before, sort of saying the biggest issue is you don't know what you're going to get at any stage. And it can be from a day-to-day basis. They walk in one time and they're absolutely 100% fine. And then the next day they walk in and they're in a different
what
space.
What about playing the game, Terry?
I think... As we all sort of know about any time physical exertion, at the end of physical exertion, you can have meltdowns as well. And I just think about players who may have lost a family member, those sort of things. They keep it together and they bottle it up, and then when it finishes, they've used up all that that effort, and then you have that sort of breakdown at that stage. So
the game's actually the one area of what I've been told for people with this, the one area while they're out there playing the game, they're on the grass, is sanctuary for them. It's somewhere where everything goes out of their mind and they actually play the game. It's in the down moment straight after.
It's a letdown. Yeah.
That's only what I've turned.
Now, straight away, people will be asking, did a Collingwood player say something to him? Geelong's understanding is, no, that did not happen. So get that out of your head straight away.
And nor was anything said to him from the other side of the fence either, from what I can gather. From their understanding.
Yeah.
So it wasn't precipitated. We'll have a chat to you. We'll hear from Chris Scott and then we'll have a chat to you about that. It's customary amongst you guys to talk about the game to begin with. And no, I don't think anybody could have seen that first quarter, could they? Could anybody in their right mind have predicted that you first could, quarter?
I actually thought they were going to come out and give it to them, but that type of scoreline, what did they bang on in the first quarter? 7-1. Two really big wins for Geelong, which they wouldn't have thought, well, they probably would have hoped, didn't think it was going to come off that well, was Blitzarve's playing on Pendlebury, especially in the first half. He's not just an athlete. He actually knows a little bit about the caper as well. And the other one was, after being competitive in the jump for the ball, in the ruck, Reece Stanley's spread to the footy actually really hurt Collingwood.
What about Jack Frost and Tom Hawkins early? Mm.
Yeah. Well, Hawkins,
that was significant.
Just ragdolled him, didn't he? He was just too strong, and it wasn't just in goals, was it? It was the ability to
lead to the footy.
Big, strong body, hold his ground, and then just be able to manoeuvre the ball to where he wanted, into the traffic or in the pathway of the guys coming through. He would, out of the first 5 goals, I think he was involved in 4 of them.
I had him best on ground for the first quarter.
Hawkins.
Yeah.
And I had Blixar on at half time.
Did you?
What a interesting case study is Blixar, and now Stanley. I mean, talk about programs at football clubs. Stanley was a wayward, I would say this, timid sort of key forward, and they've got him down there jumping into spreading, and I thought, well done, and the development of Blixar's is That's great for footy.
That so is it the singer or the song here? I mean, is it the environment or is it the individual?
Two ticks?
No, it's the environment.
Yeah.
It's the place where they go. But you've got a prototype that can work. I thought one of the keys to this game, it might sound strange, but the fact at selection that Dawson Simpson went out of one side and Jared Witts come into the other side. The athleticism of Geelong in the middle of the ground was just too good. And I'd put an argument, Robbo, that you sort of said that Blitzars was best on the ground at half time. I could give you an argument that he was best on ground. As good as what Mitch Duncan was, and Mitch Duncan was outstanding, 18 contested possessions, 38 touches for the game, but Blitzars kept Pendlebury to one kick in the first quarter. He's had 15 contested possessions for the game himself, about 30-odd touches or 28 touches, and you've had not the impact. Pendlebury late, but the game was over. The game
he
was done.
Back,
so he was, I think he was the most influential player on the ground, whether you gave him the three votes or the two.
Tell me, Doom, how the ruck setup's going at Geelong, because Blitzarf was often third man up. Was that a major advantage with Blixarfs and Stanley?
Well, I think what happens with Geelong is when Big Dawson's in the ruck, he's very difficult to shift at boundary line throw-ins and around the ground. He's not a jumper at the front, at the centre circle. He's a big, big unit. But once the ball leaves him, and I mean leaves him by 2 metres,
he's gone.
He's gone. I think they've probably gone with the fact that we're actually slowing up a little bit as a team. That's reality. That happens to older teams. A core of champion players who are older. I reckon Rhys Stanley has quickened them up in the middle, because when the ball got tapped, whether he won it or not, he's capable of following. And now, we like Witts. He's a good kid, but just we have to call it as we said. Every time he got it 6 times in the first quarter. Every time he got the ball, it slowed down. Play slowed down, the ball moved slowly. He had one kick inside the forward line and it had bits of the leather breaking off it because it was coming back down from orbit. He kicked it that high. He slows the play down. Wonderful kid. He's going to get better and better, so not here to bag him. Rhys Stanley, when he was in the play, the ball was zipping around and he was really pushing it around. The environment he's come from. And I say, when you're a second forward or even a third forward, as was his case...
Particularly to Riewoldt.
To a player who owns... Riewoldt's not Jack Riewoldt, who owns inside 50. Nick Riewoldt owns from the goal square to the defensive side of the wings.
Yeah.
That's his running area. That's where he goes and demands it. There would never have been a more difficult player to play second string behind than Nick Riewoldt, because he covers so much ground because he's so good at it. And I am just wrapped. I'm going to come here today because I asked Alan Richardson this last night. Josh Bruce changes his game today. He's had 2 6-goal hauls, one of them with Riewoldt when they were sorting themselves out, played very deep. But his game last week was extraordinary, and he did as much hard running as you would see anywhere in the forward half of the ground. Now, he's probably going to have to shave off areas of the ground now. This happened to Rhys Stanley. If there was one bloke pre-season that somebody said, okay, pick a project player, who would you love to work with? Rhys Stanley's it. Given the talents that he's got, there is something there that you could turn into an extraordinary player.
Well, that is great recruiting from Geelong. It really is.
Just to explain that a little bit more, we've seen what a player Jay Schultz has become in the competition. Jay Schultz couldn't play alongside of Matthew Richardson. Exactly the same sort of thing as what you're talking about with Bruce, and exactly the same as what you're talking about with Stanley. He was a player who wanted to be the main focus and needed to be the main focus to get the absolute best out of himself, but couldn't do so because so much gravitated towards Richardson.
Just on that, just to paint the picture for you, our great mate Piggy, if ever I had a rest from half forward and had to go to the forward pocket, playing second string forward pocket in the days when you played the position, I couldn't wait to get a bit of air into my lungs and run back out to half forward. There's never a harder position to play, because if you're Dunstall, you stand at in the goal square, draw a line out to 45 degrees either side of the goal square heading up the ground.
And that was
that big wedge. That's the pigs. Try and lead for a ball somewhere not in there so you don't cut across him. And if you do, you're actually not playing the team game.
Yeah, true.
There's never been a more difficult position to play.
And on
you recovered quickly and got out of there.
And on the flip side of that, Dunstall, in his first 12 months, just belied the fact that he sort of said, I can't play in this side. Because Lee Matthews was that person Dunstall. Yeah. So
how did Peter Curran ever get a kick in that forward line alongside you two?
Half forward. Rock stars. Well, Pig was a fair way back. He didn't. He actually thought there was a force field about 5 metres outside the 50-metre arc. He just wouldn't go through it. He's like Marcel Marceau when he got out to that 50 metres.
Right, back onto the game. Yes. The Port Adelaide performance against Hawthorn 2 weeks ago and the Geelong performance last night. Terry and Derm, how do you stop that blitz? Because it seems to go that quick and they've got such a momentum that there doesn't seem much that a coach can do except run out and say, get everyone behind the ball and stop it.
It's the hardest time in the game because everyone's fresh. You've had a week of planning the way that you're going to go about planning it. How quickly do you actually tear apart your plans? And so you're trying to read the game. Yeah, it'll settle. They've kicked two. This will settle down and we'll start to get our plans that we've worked on. All of a sudden, it's three. You know, are we making... And all of a sudden, it goes back to the middle while you're making the decision.
While you're looking at the board.
And now it's all of a sudden, it's four.
Do you rely on them in the coach's box? Do you ever get to a stage where you say, no, they need to work their own way out of this? Or do you actually say, send the message out, we need to possess the ball. But you can't if they're winning it out of the centre, it's going forward at breakneck speed. When do you let them play the game?
Until it starts to get to the stage where you think it's breaking apart completely. So you particularly early, you've got to allow them to... I mean, we see three-goal swings all the time, so that's not that much of a big deal. But all of a sudden, if the three becomes five, now we're starting to get into a situation of rare air in games.
We'll talk to the specifics, obviously, when Bucks joins us about last night's game from a Collingwood perspective. But the watermark, you're six rounds in now, and we're sort of, yes, you want to try and work out where teams are at. They've been pulled apart by Adelaide.
It's difficult.
And not, but for a last quarter rally against Adelaide, that could have been a horrible scoreline for Collingwood.
Yep.
Last night, they sort of rested momentum for about 30 minutes, but they weren't able to really put it on the
board. I wouldn't undermine that. I thought that was a terrific effort by Collingwood and Buckley to lift.
Yeah.
Because they were dead. They were on the canvas.
Yeah, they were.
And four goals to one in the third quarter.
And it wasn't... Bucks might have done a lot of tactical things. It looked to me that it was about effort. Their pressure on Geelong lifted immeasurably.
So are you still bullish about what Collingwood can do for the rest of the year, or do you reckon we're starting to see where their place is in the competition?
They beat Essendon, they beat who else?
Well,
St Kilda. Essendon was their win.
Carlton.
So
yeah,
St Kilda,
that was the big win.
St Kilda, Carlton, Brisbane. They're the three other victories.
I thought their performance against Carlton, it's hard to put a line through. I think they've got the capabilities of finishing seventh or eighth.
You think they have?
Yeah, I do. I think
their win against Essendon was fantastic.
Yeah, I think they're doing it without Sidebottom, who may be second to Pendlebury in the midfield. Mm. So they develop more, so they get more depth. They're drastically in trouble with Cloak and
Jesse White.
And Jesse White. I just don't know what they're
Harry
going to
Taylor do. Taylor spoke volumes by doing nothing last night. The first ball Jesse went for was fantastic. He led up to the outside wing. He got the ball and Harry Taylor followed him out. Thereafter, Harry Taylor looked at him and went, I don't reckon you're going to find it too
much
out there.
Going to the wrong spots. Yeah.
I'm going to sit back. And he sat back and he was another stopper blocker in the way and Jesse couldn't find it on the wing. And admittedly, they were under pressure and couldn't really get it to him that well. But he actually backed himself in to read the ball rather than follow the man out of his area where he is so, I wouldn't call him dangerous, he's so strong within 50, 60 metres of the opposition goal, Harry Taylor.
That breaks down plans, doesn't it? If you've got a forward who allows Harry Taylor...
Just to dominate?
To dominate and do what not what he wants to do, but play a huge
role
in the backup.
Well, he did against Richmond last week.
I know.
As well, really controlled it, didn't he?
It seemed like it was happening again last night.
I would like to ask you a question, Dermot, about Jesse White and where he sort of sits, because where I sort of rank him, if you were going to the combine the draft combine, he would be 9 out of 10. Yeah, yeah. 9 out of 10. His dynamics as a player is enormous. If I was rating him out of 10, and it might be unfair, but I'd give him about a 3, 2.5 or a 3 out of 10 for his understanding of the role and playing.
We call it, I couldn't agree with
game
you
more. Sense.
If you're actually asking God, give me the body, the size, the shape, the capabilities to play AFL football, God's ticked every box for Jesse White.
Yep. But
when you talk
sense.
About football acumen, and I actually made the number call, I'm surprised. You weren't in the back of the box last night. I actually had a bit of fun to start with. Said, no, he's minus one, blah, blah. He really is about three.
Yep.
Three
well,
out of ten for football
well,
acumen.
Well, if he's two or three and he's nine for the other, that means he's 11 out of 20. That's he's a 5.5 player. And yeah, that's what you're actually getting at.
We'll have a chat to Nathan Buckley about all of that when he joins.